Good morning. My name is Garrett Owen, and I'm a greenhouse specialist at Michigan State University. And today I'm presenting some of the research that Roberto Lopez and I had conducted, looking at propagation of herbaceous perennials under sole source LED lighting and comparing that to supplemental lighting from the greenhouse. So if you're not familiar with the cutting and liner production in the United States, I'm going to go over it very quickly. So for ornamentals, vegetative cuttings originate in Central and South America, where they are harvested from stock plants, and these are the apical meristems. These apical meristems, or these cuttings, are harvested, like I said, from the stock plants. They are bagged, boxed, and then from these stock plant facilities, they are flown to the U.S. to be received by the propagation facility or by the grower that's going to stick them and then place them into the propagation environment. As that cutting moves to the propagation environment, it moves from different horticultural stages, from callusing, rooting, to toning. As you can see here, this would be considered a fully developed liner at the toning stage. If a grower is propagating in-house, this liner would be then transplanted. If it's a rooting station, it is then sent on to be received by another propagator or by another grower and then transplanted into its final container. As that cutting moves through these horticultural stages, like I said, callusing to rooting to toning, endogenous and exogenous factors do influence that rooting process. And a lot of these factors have been investigated within propagation studies, and of that, light has been one of the parameters or factors that's been heavily investigated. So when we talk to greenhouse growers, we talk about the daily light integral, or the cumulative amount of light that cutting receives in propagation over the course of a day. And this changes throughout the day, throughout the week, and that propagation cycle. So when we have a low daily light integral in propagation, we employ HPS lamps or high pressure sodium lamps to increase that daily light integral or to increase or extend that photo period to increase that daily light integral. So here's an example of a propagation facility in Germany. As you can see, they are using HPS lamps to increase that daily light integral, but also to extend their day, so increasing that photo period. So within propagation, as you can see here with these this top figure, that when annual bedding plants or herbaceous perennials are propagated during January through March, the daily light integral outside is very low, and it can be further reduced by the greenhouse glazing material, infrastructure, or even hanging baskets. So that reduction can be upwards to 50%. So this lower figure demonstrates the benefits of using supplemental lighting in the greenhouse. However, there has been an increased interest in controlled environments, specifically for indoor multi-layer vertical systems, not only for propagation, but like we have heard here today and the previous days, for herbs and other edibles, because you can have greater control, maintain consistent quality, and maximize space efficiency. And by doing that, we can utilize LEDs to provide that light. And it's only sole source lighting because no other light is going to be penetrated into these areas. A lot of research has been conducted with tissue culture, more recently with seed or plug production, and again with leafy greens, herbs, and small fruits. So with providing only sole source LED light quality can influence photomorphogenesis. And previous greenhouse studies have found that it affects liner quality. However, there has been no research with LEDs for ex vitro cutting propagation. So that's why we were very interested in how does sole source LED lighting influence callusing and rhizogenesis for ex vitro or vegetative cutting propagation. So therefore, our objective was to quantify and compare the effects of sole source red and blue LED lighting on callus growth and diameter, subsequent rhizogenesis, and the quality of rooted cuttings. And another goal of this research was to establish a method to quantify callus growth and development for in vitro or for ex vitro cutting propagation. So we used two different perennial species, meadow sage or salvia, wandflower or gara, and we chose these two species as our model species because we conducted a perennial survey and found that these two are among the top 10 most heavily propagated and grown perennials in the United States. So we worked with these, and I knew from previous research how they would callus within the greenhouse, but not within controlled environments such as a multi-layer propagation system. So we grew them or propagate them in a grow chamber with a daily light integral of 3.1. CO2 was set at 500 micromoles per mole. We provided humidity domes for the first couple of days until a root initiation occurred to keep the cutting turgid. Air set point was at 21 degrees Celsius. Root zone temperature was 24 degrees Celsius. And we had relative humidity targets of 70 and 80 day night. So for our sole source lighting treatments, we had 100% red light, 0% blue light, 75% red light, 25% blue light, 50% red, 50% blue, and then 100% blue. So this is just a diagram, but this is what it actually looked like in the walk-in grow chamber that we utilized, again, using the lighting treatments. As you can see here, I have the humidity domes to keep the cutting turgid. Then after we saw root initiation and development occur, we would remove these humidity domes. So the cuttings were stuck on 16 centimeter squares, which is equivalent to a 72 cell propagation tray. It was filled with a peat perlite plus 50% coarse perlite to make our own propagation mix. We irrigated it in, allowed it to drain, stuck those cuttings, and then those propagation trays were placed on top of rinsed calcined clay filled with 500 milliliters of distilled water. So once the cuttings went into propagation, they were never irrigated. And we used that water within a base tray to keep it turgid, to keep those cuttings turgid because we had those humidity domes. We compared all these sole source lighting treatments to supplemental lighting from the greenhouse. Again, the same target set points other than we had ambient CO2. So we took light scans before and after each replication within the greenhouse and the grow chamber. So data was collected at stick, so day 0, 2, 4, 6, and 8, 10 days, after sticking the cuttings and placing them within their respective treatments in the propagation environments where we assess callus growth and diameter. So here's an example of salvia, and this is the callus in terms of what we would measure the diameter to look at growth and development. So this was the method I used to gauge, and just every 2 days I would pull the cuttings to determine the callus diameter. So we also measured total chlorophyll content, stem length, total leaf area, and root dry mass. But for today, I'm only going to be presenting the growth data for wanflower or gara. Here's the environmental data for the callus environment for wanflowers. What I want to point out is that we did maintain a consistent propagation environment within the growth chamber, which also matched the supplemental lighting treatment or the greenhouse control treatment. So here's a schematic of the progression of callus and root development from days 2 to 10 for wanflower with the supplemental lighting provided by the HPS lamps and then our LED lighting treatments with 100% red to 100% blue light. So looking at callus diameter for wanflower, we found that there was no significant difference among the LED lighting treatments at each day from day 2 to 10, and then there was no difference between the LED lighting treatments and the HPS lamps or the supplemental lighting treatment. For the growth data at day 10, what we found that stem length was significantly shorter for the 50% red, 50% blue, and what was shorter compared to those cuttings that was propagated in the greenhouse. Total leaf area was significantly smaller for those cuttings propagated under 100% blue light and smaller than those in the greenhouse control. For root dry mass, what we found that they were significantly similar among all LED lighting treatments, but smaller when blue light was provided compared to the greenhouse control. So what we have found that you can propagate vegetative cuttings within a growth chamber, so it can be done up to 10 days because we didn't go any further, but we've shown that up to 10 days it works with no negative effects on callusing or rhizogenesis. So from a commercial standpoint, to have shorter stems and higher root dry mass, what we're recommending right now, but further research is being conducted, that we're recommending that utilizing 50% blue, 50% red light, and maintaining a daily light integral of 3.1 and a root zone temperature of 24 degrees Celsius. With that, we'd like to thank all our foundations, organizations, and private horticultural companies for the support of doing this research. Thank you. Yes.
So the question was, if we were interested in looking at a broader range, spectral range, just utilizing white LEDs.
No, the focus was just on red and blue at the time, and that's what LEDs we had. Yes, Mark. We recommended, the question was why we chose 50% red, 50% blue. We chose that based on the energy consumption, but also that, trying to remember. It was more because the shorter stem length, because if we were shipping it, for example, those stems wouldn't be as damaged. But again, this was just more of a preliminary study with the focus being on callus growth and development. And then we went on and said, well, it can be used as a commercial application. So more research is being conducted. Yes. So the question was if these cuttings were treated with a rooting hormone, and they were not. So garo will callus and root within 3 to 5 days in the greenhouse, and then salvia will callus within 5 days, and we start to see root initiation around 7. So that's why we, from preliminary experiments, that's why we didn't use rooting hormone. Lena.
The domes for a period of time, and then what was in terms of the total production time?
So the question was,
and my question really relates to the CO2 when you had the dome. Did you monitor that?
The question was, do we monitor CO2 within the domes? So we did not monitor the CO2 within the domes. It was more from the grow chamber that we could get the CO2 readings. And then in terms of production time with the domes, for Gara, we removed the humidity domes once we saw root initiation around day 3-4, and the same for salvia. We did have another species, but it completely melted down because the leaves were very pubescent. So we think because of the high humidity within that propagation dome and then within the propagation environment, that grow chamber wasn't, it didn't work for us at that time. Yes. Yes. No, I do not. So the question was handling for the repeated measure studies of the callus growth and development, measuring the callus diameter. I do not think that handling it with the repeated measures influenced stem length whatsoever. And that was the only data that we collected on those cuttings was the callus diameter. For the repeated measures, everything else for the growth studies was destructive harvest cuttings.
And